Thank you so much, Rebecca. Twos and threes, fours and fives. You may be dismissed. And we're going to be in a number of passages this morning, this evening. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 will be one place to go. We'll also be in the book of Acts a great deal. As we look again at the stewardship of time that is impacting the generation, we're to redeem that diligently. And there's a number of Bible characters that we potentially could have looked at as an example. But I've chosen Timothy because you'll see as we work through this tonight that we know from Timothy's birth, through his ministry, how he, I believe, redeemed the time. We don't have a record of his death in the Word of God, but we do have a record in history of that. We'll try to look at that as well. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 in verse 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. One author has said, little did Timothy suspect when he became a Christian that his name would become a household word wherever the gospel was preached, to the ends of the earth, to the ends of time. But indeed, he has. What's interesting as I begin to study the life of Timothy is there's very little written about him. Now, we have stuff in the Word of God, but for instance, if I'm studying the life of Peter right now too, Lord willing, when we finish this series, we will start a series on Peter. And there are just book after book after book after book written on the life of Peter. Very little written on the life of Timothy. And yet, as you'll see tonight, as we kind of put some scripture passages together, it's amazing how impactful Timothy was on both the New Testament and the early church. He was in some of the most significant churches, and it appears that when a church got into trouble, Paul sent Timothy there to put out the fires or to bring them back in, and Timothy would have been a young man. Matter of fact, when he pastored Ephesus, some believe he couldn't have been any older than about 30, and yet he was dealing with some difficult things. Another author said, of all Paul's co-laborers, none seemed to have been so dear to him as Timothy was. Paul pens what we call the pastoral epistles, two of those books to Timothy and one of them to Titus. Two of his preacher boys, both of them put into difficult circumstances. And of course, we've already talked about how that we should use our time wisely and redeem it diligently. And I believe Timothy absolutely did that. We're going to look tonight, if the Lord allows us to, first off, at his background. Just look at some of the things that shaped him as a young man, a young baby, if you will. His beginning, what do we know about it? His brother in Christ, that is Paul, that relationship that they had together. And then lastly, we'll look at his burden, and there's a number of things in that we'll look at that Timothy was given task to be able to perform. So let's look at, first off tonight, the background. Paul comes to this city that Timothy was reared in on his second missionary journey, shortly after he had split from Barnabas. Now let's go to Acts chapter 16, if you would please. We'll be back and forth between a number of books tonight, but Acts chapter number 16. In Acts 14, if you'll hold your finger in 16, let me just give you some reference on Acts 14. In Acts 14, verses 6 through 23, Paul had already been to this city the first time. It is in this city that men tried to fall down and worship Barnabas and Paul, seeing that they were the priest of Jupiter, calling Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, and they tried to do sacrifice to them and so forth, but Paul and them would have none of those things. This was also the location where Paul was stoned, where they thought was to death, And as the disciples were standing around him, he came back to life, or whatever you want to believe there. I think Paul, certainly that could have been the experience where Paul went into the third heaven, but we won't debate that tonight. But now we get to Acts chapter 16, and Paul is coming back through this city for a second time. And we see in chapter 16 and verse 1, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. Behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek." So we see a little bit about Timothy here. Some believe that Timothy very well could have been saved on Paul's first missionary journey and then grew as a disciple over the next 5 years, because that's approximately the time between the first missionary journey and the second missionary journey. Timothy came from a mixed home, mixed racially and mixed religiously. Now, his daddy was a Greek, and as far as we know, no evidence of his dad's conversion. We know that his dad at least had some influence on the home because Timothy was not circumcised. Paul took him and later circumcised him so that he could be a ministry to the Jews. Yet we also know that his mother had an incredible impact on that. We'll look at that in just a little bit. He might have been saved, as we said, on Paul's first missionary journey through that region, though we don't really know. But it's certainly been 5 years since Paul was there. It is almost guaranteed that Timothy was at least familiar with, possibly very familiar with, the way Paul was treated in that city, all the events that took place. If he did not personally observe it, he certainly heard about it from his mom and grandmother and so forth. He also had a great testimony. Notice verse 2 of Acts chapter 16 in verse 2. It says, "Which was, Timothy, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium." Verse 3, "Him would Paul have to go forth with them, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek." We don't really hear much from Timothy's father. We don't know much about him. We assume that his father was probably not saved, but we don't know that for sure. We don't know exactly what took place, whether his father was even out of the picture at this point. Paul certainly doesn't give his father credit for his spiritual upbringing, as we'll see in just a little bit. So a little bit about his background, and I think it's important for us as we look at an application that longevity in ministry allows you to see some fruit. Timothy was, assuming that he did get saved at that first missionary journey. If he didn't, then his mother and grandmother certainly were impacted by the gospel there. And that those next 5 years, the church that Paul left behind, Timothy then became not only a man of character in that church, but in other churches in that region. He was a well-respected young man by the time Paul got back. And it encourages us to plant seeds. Sometimes it takes a while for seeds to grow up into fruition, but Timothy certainly was an example of that. But number two, we see Timothy's beginning, and I want to jump back to what we don't have in the book of Acts, but what Paul sheds for us in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. He says this, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith," that is no hypocrisy to the faith, it was the real thing, "the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." So Paul is writing, and by the way, when Paul gets to the second letter to Timothy, by this point, Paul has been rearrested, and he knows that his death sentence is on him. By the time we get just a little bit into the book, Paul tells Timothy, "Look, Timothy, I'm done. My ministry is over. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I'm not going to make it much longer." And we'll see again a little bit later in the message that twice Paul begs Timothy, "You got to get here, Timothy. You got to come. I need to see you again." And we know that eventually Paul was indeed martyred. So these two ladies, his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, had an incredible impact. And Paul knew the incredible persecution that was coming to the church, and what Timothy would be placed under. And so He's hearkening back. I want to remind you of how your mother and grandmother had an incredible impact on you, Timothy. Stay strong. Matter of fact, you could easily say that the books of 1 and 2 Timothy were written to keep Timothy strong. Stay in the faith. Don't waver. Stand strong, Timothy. Don't be timid. Don't, you know, fear didn't come from God. I mean, Paul says those things over and over and over again. But also we find in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Paul makes an interesting statement. And again, this whole idea of standing. He says, but continue thou. Don't give up. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then those two verses, the power-packed verses about the inspiration of God. All scripture is given by inspiration. But it's very interesting. He says that from a child. The Greek word that Paul uses there is the Greek word brephos, and it means from a newborn child or from an infant. Now, if we put these two passages together in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and chapter 3, we're very confident that Lois and Eunice, from the day Timothy was born, poured God's word into his life. They literally poured the word of God into him. I don't know the scenario, but you can, if you will, in your mind's eye, we're not trying to do injustice to Scripture, imagine his mom and grandma rocking Timothy maybe to sleep and quoting the Old Testament Scriptures to him, just pumping the Word of God in there. And Paul says, Timothy, that Word of God, I want you to continue in it. One author said this, he said, by referring to Timothy's roots, Paul was trying to fortify Timothy's faith to face the mounting persecution that was coming. Matter of fact, I believe that Timothy had already spent time in jail, but people were going to begin to be martyred for the cause of Christ. That had already happened, but the escalation was going to get more intense as Timothy prepares for his ministry. The impact that we have on children and grandchildren cannot be understated. Cannot be. Including those that are newborn. We may think, well, what good would it do us to quote Bible verses? They don't even understand yet. I think you ought to quote it to them. I think you ought to let the Word of God just saturate their little lives. You know, I pray for my grandbabies now. I'm not sure what they can understand, Lord, but little nuggets of truth that they can gather as they go to church today and sit in their little classes and all that kind of stuff. We believe very firmly here that twos and threes, fours and fives class is not something just a time filler. They're teaching them the Word of God, and I believe they can get truth in there. By the way, two of our grandbabies are being baptized tonight. Judson and Kayla both are being baptized tonight, and that's a wonderful thing. I'm grateful for the godly influence that those parents are on them. So what are you teaching your children and grandchildren? Are you pouring into them the Word of God? Is that a priority in your life? So we see, first off, a little bit about Timothy's background, but number two, we see his beginning. Number three, we see his brother in Christ. In Acts 16, Paul takes Timothy, and we don't have time tonight because of the extensiveness it would take us to do, but Timothy then becomes Paul's right-hand man. He travels with him to almost every city that Paul is in, reestablishing churches, establishing new churches. And at times when Paul says, well, I felt like I needed to stay here. Timothy, I want you to go there. And Timothy, when you get there, come back over here and bring this. And, oh, Timothy, you need to go to that church and straighten this out. And, oh, can you deliver this letter for me? And Timothy becomes just an incredible thing to the Apostle Paul. And there's a lot of verses we could read, but a number of them. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. Philemon chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2, which we've already read, unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Referring to Timothy. The word like-minded is an interesting word. It means equal in soul. Paul says, when I send Timothy, it's just as if I'm coming there. That's how I feel about Timothy. That's pretty high praise coming from the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 21, the first part of that says, Timotheus, my work fellow, my companion in the work, my fellow worker. Paul dearly loved this young man. And another author says, Timothy seems to have been among the very closest of his companions. And his name is mentioned 28 times in Scripture as Paul pens things about how Timothy was next to him. Again, you can see from the very beginning of his life, when he was a newborn infant, the Word of God impacted him. His mom and grandma redeeming the time in Timothy's life so that he had an opportunity to impact. And now we're the Apostle Paul has become his Paul, as we would refer to it. And he's discipling him and he's teaching him. And now Timothy is beginning to pastor churches and those kind of things. See, Paul invested his life in others, knowing that he would not be here forever. Paul understood that I can't live forever, but I can live, if you will, vicariously through others. When I pour my life into this young man, and then he can carry on, and he pours his life into a young man, and he pours his life into a young man, and so forth. Do you have a Timothy in which you're investing? Somebody that you can pour your life into? Number four, we see Timothy's burden. And this is where we'll spend a great deal of time tonight in our message. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4 makes an interesting statement. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul says, talking to his son in the faith, greatly desiring to see thee, notice the next phrase, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. We don't know what those tears were. We can make some assumptions. Could it be that Timothy was feeling the persecution around him? That's possible. Is it possible that Timothy's tears were connected to brothers and sisters who had fallen away in the faith? Certainly that's possible. Is it possible that as Timothy pastored a church and he dealt with all kinds of pressures and difficulties and those who rejected the gospel and all the struggles that he had as he pastored these churches as a young man, we know that Paul gave him warning, Timothy, don't let anybody despise thy youth. Timothy, this is how I want you to treat elders. It's obvious that Paul is instructing him in this process, that pressure that must have been on Timothy. But he had a burden on him. But we see a couple of things that I think is interesting as we unpack this burden of Timothy. And I told you we'd do a lot of turning tonight. Philippians chapter 2, if you would, please. Philippians chapter 2. And we'll pick up in verse 19 and read a passage of which we've already quoted one verse. But Philippians chapter 2 in verse 19. And here we're going to look at Timothy's character. There's a lot of passages we could look at, but this one really summarizes him. Verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father he hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Paul said, church at Philippi, I'm going to send the most trusted person I possibly can to you. And you already know who he is. I think there's four things I see about Timothy's character here. First off, he's sympathetic to Paul's calls. Paul says, I have no man that's like-minded but Timothy. I know that exactly what I would do, that's exactly what Timothy will do. I know the questions that are asked, how I would answer them is exactly how Timothy will answer them. I know him. I know his character. I know his mind. I know what he's thinking. But secondly, we see that he was selfless. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. This is not Timothy. The reason I'm sending Timothy is because others will seek their own, but not Timothy. Timothy just pours himself out for you. He'll naturally care for your state. But number three, he substantiated. He said, you know him. You know the proof of him. You know that as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. I don't have to tell you who Timothy really is because you folks at Philippi already know who he is. And then he's a servant. He hath served with me. Whatever Paul needed to be done, Timothy did it. And it's amazing when you kind of put a bunch of these passages of Scripture together and you think, Paul, do you know what you're asking Timothy to do? Paul, you do know that Corinth is one of the most wicked cities out there, and that church is incredibly carnal, and you're going to send young Timothy in there? But Timothy just did it. He did exactly what Paul asked of him. You know, character qualifies you for jobs that need to be done. And Timothy had that kind of character that Paul could count on him. Can others count on your character? Timothy's character. But secondly, we see Timothy's charge. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18, Paul says, this charge I commend unto thee, son Timothy. By the way, I love how Paul uses that word constantly. My beloved son, my dear son. Certainly Paul cared for him. He says, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Paul says, Timothy, I don't want you to forget that men laid their hands on you and proclaimed that God was going to do great things for you. Don't ever forget that. Don't forget the privilege it was to listen to those men talk about the example that you could have. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20, he says, old Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. He says, Timothy, whatever has been passed on to you, we talked last week about that trust of the gospel has been given to us. We have a stewardship of that. Paul says, that trust that's been given to you, Timothy, don't drop the ball. Stick with it. Stay in there. Finish the course. Really, the entire books of 1 and 2 Timothy are a charge to him, aren't they? Here, Timothy, this is what we want done. And the second one particularly, I'm not trying to add to Scripture by any means, but I can imagine as Timothy gets this letter, how he would have reacted to a letter from coming from the Apostle Paul. How you would react from a letter coming from someone you deeply respect. As he begins to read this letter and he's poring over the words, and Paul says, Timothy, I just want you to know time of my departure is at hand. I'm done. Ministry's over. Death sentence has been pronounced. It could be any day now. I'd really like to see you again. Can you imagine? Sometimes we disconnect the human side of Bible characters. We forget that they were humans. I can imagine that Timothy maybe wept over this letter. Imagine as he began to immediately make plans to go see Paul. It wasn't like he could get on a plane. This would have been quite a trek for him, regardless of where he's located at the time. And it would have been a dangerous thing. He's going to see a man that's condemned to die, and the reason he's condemned to die is because he's a Christian. An incredible thing. Do you heed God's charge to you from his word? You know what's precious about this book is that God preserved those letters for us. Matter of fact, it's my contention that when Paul penned the words to Timothy, the Holy Spirit of God not only inspired those words, but he knew there would be people thousands of years later reading those words that would need those same things. Continue thou. Don't quit. Stand up. Don't be timid. Come on in the face of whatever you're facing. We see, number three, Timothy's continuance. In other words, Timothy was to take what he had learned and commit it to others. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Don't miss this because this is important. I'm gonna pull a couple of people here. Pastor Shred, I need you for sure if you could come up here. And then Pastor Caleb, if you could come. And then I need, let's do six other guys. Just any, it doesn't matter. Six other guys, come on up. You don't sit there bashful. It's okay. Pastor, I need you right here, if you could, please, on this side of me, over here. Pastor Caleb, you come right here, all right? And then you other guys just line up right there. That's good. Those guys coming. Come on down. Yes, sir, Brother Steve. Jump in there. We'll assume you're young, Brother Steve. That'll be good. Come on, Josh. No, you're up. I know I didn't. Come on. Okay. Now, don't miss this illustration, okay? Paul said to Timothy, the things that I have taught you, I want you to find faithful men, and I want you to commit that to them, and then those faithful men will do the same, okay? And I've said this often, but I mean this, okay? I'm grateful for my Paul. I'm incredibly grateful for the time and the energy that he's poured into me. I'm grateful that he didn't just have staff members that he worked like slaves, but he actually poured into our lives, okay? This is my Paul. By the way, you want a little secret? There's a selfish reason why I want him in this church. I get the wisdom. I get a pastor. Okay?
So do I.
Amen. I appreciate him, okay? But now I want you to watch this. He's my Paul. I'm the Timothy, okay? But now I want to pour my life into someone, okay? Matter of fact, one of the things that Pastor Caleb and I have talked about often is one of the things we miss about him having to take a job is we would spend sometimes a couple hours just walking through things, just talking about it, investing, you know, and so forth, all right? So he's, now here's the picture now. He's going to be a faithful man, and he's going to teach others also, okay? But here's the deal. He considers me his Paul, so he's the Timothy. So this is the faithful man, and this is others also. But he is the Timothy to this Paul, okay? Which means, you see the point? So what happens is this process of discipleship continues. We're standing here today because it's continued. Don't miss that, okay? If we could, I can tell you who would be standing right here. Clifford Clark, that's the name I was going to say. He's preached here before. You know, he was Pastor's Paul. And I guarantee if Clifford Clark was here, he has somebody that he would point to. And that's the deal. By the way, you say, well, those are pastors. Listen, Paul didn't say, Timothy, I want you to commit to other pastors. He said to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Amen. So all the way down this line, we have men that from one perspective is a faithful man, okay? But from another perspective, he's a Timothy communicating to a faithful man who's so forth and so all the way down the line. And at the end down here, Josh is going to have somebody he's going to invest in, which is somebody he's going to invest in. And by the way, many of these guys up here are college students. And these guys are going to be pouring into others' lives long after many of us are gone. And you folks who have been in Emmanuel all these years, don't minimize that. Because we hear it. Pastor Sret and I both hear how kids out there now, they're no longer kids. Unfortunately, we got guys that are marrying off their daughters and stuff too. But anyway, it's like, man, I remember when this person came, you know. But do you know what they're telling us? Hey, is so-and-so still in the church? Man, that was a godly person. I'm so grateful for the investment they've had in my life. What about this? It was interesting. Monday night, I put on Facebook, hey, all you out there that know Mom, Pa, you need to pray. And my phone blew up. I mean, it was like, boom, you know. Why? The investment. Investment that those kind of people have made. That's the process here, okay? Don't miss that. That very, very important. Thank you, man. I appreciate it very, very much. So that's what Timothy's continuance was. He wanted to continue that process. And he said, hey, I want you to pour your life into others. And Paul said, I'm not going to be here much longer. When he says that in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, Timothy may not have known yet. He hadn't read, skimmed ahead to the letter to know that this is actually Paul's final message. But he thought it was important enough to say, Timothy, I'm about to go. And all of a sudden, Timothy, you're going to be the stalwart church leader that everybody looks to. And you're going to be the one that's writing letters to young men out there that you've discipled and poured your heart into. Timothy's continuance. Just as Paul invested in Timothy, he was investing in others. And we have to ask ourselves, are we investing in others? Are we pouring our life into them? I want us to see number four, Timothy's captivity. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 23 says, "Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom if he comes shortly, I will see thee." We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews for sure. I think it's very possible that the Apostle Paul wrote it. But it's also, based upon this verse, it looks very likely that Timothy spent some time in jail. Very possible. A number of guys believe that it was connected to the fact that he kept ministering to Paul. And truthfully, the later Paul got in his years, the more dangerous that was. You can find other passages of Scripture, and it seems to give an indicator that some of the men who risked their lives to come and minister to Paul actually died in the process. So this was no easy task for them. Timothy faced many moments of persecution with Paul. You can see those unfold. Yet he stood firm for God. And then letter E, we'll look at Timothy and the church. And just kind of quickly run through this process. We know that Timothy pastored the church at Ephesus for a time. As a matter of fact, we believe that Timothy was there with Paul the 3 years that Paul invested in Ephesus. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." So a young man, Timothy, is charging these people who are in cities that not only does he have the Judaizers who are trying to corrupt the gospel, but by this time we've already had all kinds of other philosophies pouring in. Gnosticism was a part of the process and other doctrines. And Paul was telling Timothy, hey, stick with it. Stick with it. By the way, what Bible college training did Timothy get? The Apostle Paul. Yeah. He got to walk and talk with him. He didn't have to hear Paul say, by the way, when you get out there in the ministry, there might be some people that don't like you. He got to witness that firsthand. He got that lesson real up close and personal, right? Timothy was in Philippi, we know, because of the passage we've already read, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus to you." Timothy was with Paul when he established at least the churches at Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea, according to Acts chapter 16, 1 through 17, 14. Those churches that he established there, as well as those that he was strengthening. Timothy was sent to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Again, let's think for a moment about this. It appears from this text of Scripture that Timothy delivers the letter to the church at Corinth. Do you remember what 1 Corinthians was about? It was, you could argue, was Paul's strongest scathing letter that he wrote. It was a sharp correction to these people. They had significant moral and other problems in the church. One of the problems that Paul dealt with was there was a man who had his father's wife. There was an incestual relationship going on there. And Paul said, "What are you doing? This has got to get out of the church. You can't have this." Those kind of things had to be dealt with. And Timothy gets to bring the letter. And he gets to be there and begin to correct. Notice what he says. "And as I teach everywhere," he says, "I'm going to bring you into remembrance." This is what Timothy is going to do. Imagine Timothy reading that letter. When you read the text of 1 Corinthians, you get not the idea. It's pretty much spelled out for you that the guy who's living in an incestual relationship is not only in the church, but he's enjoying great fellowship in the church. So he was probably sitting there when the letter's read. You're asking a young man to step into this quote-unquote lion's den. By the way, if you think that we live in a more wicked society today than there's ever been, you ought to go study Corinth. It was an unbelievably filthy environment. Matter of fact, they nicknamed vile acts after the city. It was a horrible place. And that is the type of place that Timothy goes in. You get a little bit of idea why Timothy might have been shedding some tears, right, in these situations. Number five, he was also sent to Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. This is just some samplings of some of the things that Timothy would go. Can you imagine? I envision these things. When Paul says, Timothy, come here, I got a job for you. It'd have been like, what problem church am I going to now? You know, what next letter are you wanting me to deliver? And I've got to go in there and straighten out this mess. You know, and it's like, wow. And again, remember, probably a teenager when Paul first got him. Probably no later than 30 by the time he's pastoring the church at Ephesus. A young man. Timothy's impact on the New Testament and the church during this time cannot be overstated. The letters he delivered, the churches he strengthened, the people that he shored up in the process, the churches that he himself helped start, all of these things, incredible impact in the New Testament era. We have to ask ourselves, what impact do we have in the area of influence that God has left for us? No one knows for sure if Timothy made it to Paul. We don't have that recorded for us. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9, Paul says to Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Timothy, I need you here. In verse 21 of the same chapter, so just 12 verses later, he says, Timothy, do thy diligence to come before winter. Timothy, I got to see you again. My time's short. I really need to see you. We don't have this recorded in the Word of God, but tradition states that Timothy was martyred during the reign of Domitian or Nerva. We're not sure which one. But we literally can say, from the very beginning of his birth to the day of his death, Timothy redeemed the time. Redeemed the time. If we pulled out the influence from a human standpoint, if we pulled out the influence of Timothy alone from the New Testament, we would have gaping holes. Imagine if the church at Ephesus was not there, or the church at Corinth was not there. Imagine if those churches weren't there and we didn't have letters preserved for them. What if we didn't have the books of 1 and 2 Timothy? I mean, we just think about those things. It's like, wow, gaping holes. I believe he certainly redeemed the time. So regardless of where God has you, are you got a little babe wrapped in your arms? So did Eunice and Lois. They just poured God's word into him. I don't know what they thought. I don't know if they thought, well, one day he's going to blaze a trail for the gospel. He's going to start churches all over. I don't know that they thought that. They just thought, I want him to have a passion for God. I'm going to pour the word of God into this little man's life. And he certainly did. And redeemed the time. Father, thank you for the life of Timothy. Oh, what a challenge he is to us. Yes, he was young. Yes, he could have struggled with being timid at times. What a mentor he had. Man, Lord, help us to redeem the time. Whether we're caring for babes in a nursery, our preschoolers, our elementary kids, may we pour our lives into others so that people can continue the process of choosing faithful men who will teach others also. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the reminders of it from Scripture. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Let's stand together. Pastor Brew, can we sing the song?